I know that there is a lot of culture, no matter what culture you come from, that encourages you to shut down your vulnerability. When I say no matter what culture you come from, there's the United States, there are other countries, there's your neighborhood, there's your family. I was just up in British Columbia, where Canadians are a little different than New Yorkers. And several times as I was creating the program with Hugh and Barb and Carol, who are all Canadian, I would look at Hugh, if any of you know Hugh Duff, he's a quiet, more soft-spoken person, and I said, I'm doing my best not to be pushy. And, no, I didn't even say, I said, I'm doing my best, and he said, not to be pushy. He said it, I didn't even say it, and I said, I really just want us to be excited about what's happening, because we were a little behind the eight ball, because things changed at the last minute. But to be self-revealing of how passionate I was about attunement and about what we could do together. I had met with David for an hour and 15 minutes before I left, just looking at what he had done in the gathering in the spring, and also just how attunement and the seven spirits is so related to the seven virtues that we study in FSE, and how that's related to the 7 days of creation and the spheres, and just the coming forth of the generation of being. And, you know, being an FSE teacher, this is stuff I've taught year after year. So it was, I'm not saying that I'm the best at it, but the other presenters there haven't had that privilege to talk about blessing, then talk about understanding and how this all works with the attunement process. So I did most of the presenting, and each time I did, I wanted people to know, this is your primal knowing. As Gary was saying, you were born with this. I didn't use the word primal, and I was sorry I didn't, because I really would like people to remember that this is already true for them. But as I was doing it, one of the things I noticed that really assists when I'm teaching is to get people to laugh about it. Because when you laugh about the fact that I really do know that, but I've been pretending like I don't, it helps people to remember that you can stop pretending that this is unfamiliar to you. You can stop pretending that who you are is pretty smart and pretty amazing. I did an exercise with everyone where I asked them, when we were looking at enlightened thinking, I was talking about being a superhero. I'm sure we've done that here before. But I was asking them what their superpower would be so that they could come forth more as themselves, how they could think differently. And the one I came up with was, for myself, was I wanted to be a shame eraser, where I could be with people and erase all their shame so that they could start from scratch and be present fully like themselves without all the overlays of ways they were trying to pretend not to be, or trying to not offend anybody or not do it wrong again. And after I made that announcement, Maureen kept reminding me how easily I shame people. So she said, shame eraser, and I said, well, what I like to do is shame them and then erase it really fast. Because at least it gets them in touch with, I'm not shaming them because it's real, I'm shaming them for the joke of it. But it was an interesting thing, because it is part of my culture that's how my family teased each other. But you have to be aware that it's still your culture that you're playing into that's familiar. So, you know, those rules, is it true, is it necessary, and is it kind? Sometimes it is really kind to tease a person because it lets them not take themselves so seriously. But sometimes it's not, because you're reinforcing how they believe they see them, how they see themselves already. So as we were sharing attunements in one of our sessions, one of the things that became clear, because there were some very brand new people there, they were enamored more by what was happening in the room than what they were experiencing in their body, because they were feeling a culture. They were feeling a culture of a room filled with people who knew this stuff was real. And I had them chanting their pants off, I'm telling you. We were chanting like crazy, because every time actually, no one dropped their pants, just in case you were concerned. They were Canadian, after all. They weren't going to be dropping their pants. So, I'm sorry. I know there are Canadians in the room, and I apologize. Every time we chanted, people would say, something just happened. As Barbara has said often, what just happened? We would chant, and they would say, my cells are no longer in the same atmosphere as they were before, or even in the same hemisphere. And so I would use everything I had in my power to get them to be in touch with something that was very, very real and just happened, so that they could believe it over and over again, that it was possible over and over again to think differently, to see differently, to see themselves as powerful beings that were potent and ready to penetrate their world. Passion and clarity. I kept telling them, be passionate and be clear. You have the power to be both. You can be passionately present and stay clear, so that your passion is creating something you can be proud of. Not proud of in the sense of good girl, but like, look, we're going down the road I wanted to go down. I want to go down Gary's road. How about you? I want to develop a culture where my spiritual stature doesn't have to be reclaimed as I get older. And then once I'm 75 years old, finally, I'm living into it. When I was coming home, I was on the bus to the parking lot, and there was this girl, probably 2 years old. She was in one of those umbrella strollers, and she had ants in her pants like you wouldn't believe. So she's got the strap in so that she's not, but she's standing up in the thing and bringing the whole stroller up, trying to walk around the bus, and she's punching her mother, and her mother's hitting her on the nose, and she's rubbing her nose on the stroller, and then she's making faces at people, and then she said, don't touch my foot, and her mother was holding onto the stroller so it wouldn't roll around the bus, and she's kicking her mother, and I'm looking at this bundle of energy, and then 1 minute later, and you know that innocent two-year-old sleep where they're drooling and they are as cherubic as is possible compared to what had just been happening. This girl has no problem just being herself. No problem going right into her her fussiness or her state of bliss. And yet, as I was sitting there, I was thinking, this seriously, her mother must have given her sugar, because she was so wound up. But that's the state before exhaustion, often for a child. So my own cultural judgment. Any other adult here had a child who knows that that's true? Go into a grocery store, and if they're fussy, they're either tired or they're hungry, right? We all know that state. But I want to go back to the mystery that Adam was bringing. We're going to be with all these people who might be fussing just before they fall asleep. Seriously, you might be hitting them right in a certain part of their cycle, and can you stay open to what's really, you don't really know what it is, right? Or they might have just woken up, realized who they are, and they're full of passion to reveal themselves. Let us break free of thinking we know, so that we can be in the mystery of the revelation of ourselves, along with the revelation of the people we're with. How many people this year at your first Arise Festival? Are we frightening you? No, don't be. But it is, I know Linda was saying how, walking out her door and seeing the tents. It's the first time we had an Arise Festival here, we met in the dome with the whole community, because it was a breaking of a culture where this land was seen as so sacred that the idea of having all these people come and play music that we didn't know what it would be and walk all over our property that we had been keeping sacred, near our homes that we considered sacred. We had to have a culture-breaking meeting. And the meeting wasn't about we knew what was going to happen. For myself, I mean, I was one of those people who wasn't sure that this was a good idea at all. Because I've been invested in Sunrise Ranch being a sacred place for 40 years. I didn't want, just because we might make some money, to violate what I had been dedicated my life to. But what we were looking at was the practicality of what it takes to sustain spiritual space, holy, sacred space, and welcome the world. I mean, this place is designed to welcome the world. I am designed to welcome the world. How about you? We are designed to do that. So how about something as smart as you might want to lock your doors? I mean, this was the first year because we didn't even know if we could keep the people on the spaces where they were going to be. How is that going to, is yellow tape really going to stop them? You know, that kind of thing. How about trusting that the security we have is going to be good enough? There are various things to consider to let wisdom be present, and then be present as it was transforming into what it was going to be. And I can tell you, in the first couple years, the control pattern wasn't as good as it is now. We had someone nearly die jumping into the canal because he was a good place to swim. Thank God someone had a fishing net and pulled him out. You know, he could hold onto it and we pulled him out. More than once we've had an ambulance here for someone who's drunk too much, teenagers who are out of control. I'm not saying this again to have it be a frightening experience, but as you step into a new culture, things happen that are going to be a little unnerving to the person who's used to the culture the way it was. And I can tell you, a rise is the most incredible, wonderful experience. I don't have a Sunrise t-shirt. I never really wear t-shirts with logos on them. But I can tell you there's an advantage. 2 years ago, I gave the opening ceremony, because David wasn't here, gave the Sunrise welcome. And so people knew who I was. The amount of response to me as a person, because they saw my face and heard my words, was remarkable. For them to just say, thank you for letting us be here. Thank you for Sunrise existing. So wear whatever you can so people know that you have dedicated something to the culture that Gary is speaking about. And even if you came to Sunrise and didn't even think like that, didn't think about the fact that you are an angelic being and we are here to allow that culture to be born through us, you came here for some reason, some conscious reason. Let that be seen. Let that invitation go out. Let the opportunity that is going to present itself this weekend intensify your birth this weekend. Let's do that. Thanks for being here tonight.